The notes I have tonight, I'm thinking maybe by 8 o'clock, we'll start closing down. But anyway, tonight I want to talk about something that has really been on my heart a lot in the last, last few months. I could probably go back and say the last few years. But it's really gotten stronger and stronger. And days like today or tomorrow actually, with it being Memorial Day, are days that just, well, if you will, puts me in remembrance of it. And as you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And, I guess we can't let a holiday go by without preaching the message about it. Amen. So that's what we'll do. But Memorial Day is a special day probably to some than others. But if you will, I'm going to go ahead and read this this paragraph or so that I found on Memorial Day. It's just like a little history of it. It says, Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is observed every year on the last Monday of May, originated as Decoration Day after the American Civil War, when an organization of Union veterans known as the Grand Army of the Republic established it as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of those killed during the war with flowers. By the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions celebrated on different days had merged, and Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died while in the military service. It typically marks the start of the summer vacation season, while Labor Day marks its end. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving, while veterans celebrate the service of all U.S. military veterans. So if there's anybody in here tonight that has had a loved one die or was killed while they were serving, if you would just go ahead and stand. We just want to recognize you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. Now, I do want to go ahead and do recognize veterans that's in here. And the reason to do that is they almost go hand in hand. So if you're a veteran that's in here, go ahead and stand and be recognized again. Just go ahead and stand. Thank you guys for your service. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I went ahead and did that because I just got through reading that Memorial Day is for one purpose and Veterans Day is for another purpose. But at the same time, when you look at a veteran, they're volunteering to put themselves in the very same position. They're willing to go out and do something that, you know, most probably don't want to do. So, you know, I guess traditionally we honor both on Memorial Day. And then again, when Veterans Day comes around, we go ahead and honor both when Veterans Day comes around. Now, each Memorial Day, we should take time to think about and honor those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Some of those we may know personally, while others were involved in wars and battles that are studied throughout history. Yes, I know some personally. Some of you may already know I'm a veteran. I spent 21 years in the Marine Corps, and I noticed we had a lady stand up that's a veteran. Thank you. I have to give my wife credit. She spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. So usually when I talk to people and we talk about military and she's with me, she normally just elbows me and I reminds me, so I'm getting better at remembering her. But no, there's some people that I personally knew, and then there's some that I don't know who they are. They're only in history books, okay? And just as an example, when I went to boot camp back in 1984, we went through a series of training, as you will. And if anybody says Marines are brainwashed, I'll be the first to say, yes, we are. But you know what? As a Christian, aren't we brainwashed too? And I'm glad that we're brainwashed. We should be striving for having our brains washed. But But no, as part of our training, and a very small part, but as part of our training, we're educated on the history of the Marine Corps, the history of the armed forces. We're educated on customs and courtesies and whatnot. And because we have to learn those things. And granted, most people just graduate high school and they go in and they've probably had so many semesters or years of U.S. history, you know, while they're going through high school and junior high and elementary school. The military sort of got specific about military history, and we've learned about the Medal of Honor winners. We've learned about the people that was killed in combat and what they've done for that to happen. But not only are we taught that, for the first few years, you know, up until we get to a certain rank, and if you get out before you reach that rank, you do it the whole time you're in. But we're tested on that information, and it starts in boot camp. We're tested on that information, the history of the military and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We're tested on that before we even graduate boot camp. And then through a series of annual testing, we're tested on that as well. If anybody goes up for what's called a meritorious promotion, and you stand in front of a promotion board and you're bombarded with questions, and it's basically whoever looks the best and answers the questions the best, most likely is the one that's picked for that accelerated promotion. And most of those questions, or not most, but some of those questions revolve around your job skill and also your knowledge about the customs and courtesies in the history of the military. So although Memorial Day is a day that we set aside each year to take special time to honor those who died while serving our country, there is nothing that says that we should put them in remembrance only on that day. And, you know, as I had the veterans stand up, not only should we honor the veterans on that day as well. If you will, whenever it comes to your remembrance, whenever it comes to your mind, whenever it's settled on your heart, honor them and thank them. And just as an example, throughout the Marine Corps, we had different social events. And we call it the Marine Corps birthday ball, or we would call it a mess night, or different things. And that's where we get all dressed up nice and fancy in our full dress uniform. And we basically have a party, okay? In the church realm, we would call it a fellowship dinner. But it's a party. But always off to the side is a table with draped in a black cloth. And there's a table setting. And that table setting is usually set aside to remember those who've gone before us and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we actually, during the event, in the preparation or the pre-stages of it, we take time to honor the veterans that have done that. We have a moment of silence. And in some military units, and we're talking about the federal government, actually goes as far to have a prayer. Now, as we look throughout our Christian history, there is one that we should not wait to remember and honor only during certain times of the year. In fact, we should remember and honor our Lord each and every day as we make him a priority in our lives. He not only had the key role, and I'm going to say that again, he didn't just have a role, he had the key role in us being able to partake in the freedoms we have in this country. He assured us our salvation and eternal life with him. And however, we do set special days aside to honor our Lord. We have Christmas, we have Easter, and the times that we have communion, just various different times like that. We do honor our Lord. Nonetheless, we should remember him each and every day. Okay? And, you know, if you start to go throughout the day and it's like, you know what? I don't think the Lord's been on my heart today. I don't think the Lord's been on my mind today. Well, put him on your mind, you know, put him on your heart, praise him and give him glory. And you know, we have a great and wonderful worship team, amen? And, you know, just listening to them sing about how great is our God, beautiful voices, amen? But, you know, when I'm walking around in the living room and I'm singing how great is our God, there's a reason why I'm not up here on the front line singing, amen? But you know what? God doesn't care. Our Lord Jesus doesn't care. So if you're in your car, you know, some people's got some heavy rock and roll on and they're banging their head and they're singing, just crank up, you know, K-Love or whatever, and plug in that CD and just worship God too, okay? So again, nonetheless, we should remember him each and every day. And how do we do this? There's many ways that we could do this. And I just gave you an example of, you know, about singing praises to him. You know, just walk around when you in your prayer time, in your devotion time. Just give him honor and give him glory and praise him. But one way I want to take a look at tonight is basically three of the Gospels, they record Jesus teaching on a way to give him honor and remember him. And he did it by instituting the Lord's Supper. Now, we're not going to go into depth and start reading. Actually, yeah, we will. We're going to do that, but I'm not going to read each of the Gospels. And just for your own notes, you could go to Matthew 26, and it starts with verse 31. And you can go to Mark 14, starting with verse 22. And then you can go to Luke 22, starting with verse 31. And those are in the Gospels, that's the recollection or the notation or the recording of the Lord's Supper. But what I would like to do is go to 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. And this essentially, I'm just going to say, this is Paul summarizing what the three Gospels, the apostles have written about the Lord's Supper. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, and it's going to be verse 23 through 26. And Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So how often do you do it? Often is often. It doesn't matter how often. You know, some people might say, "Oh, you only do it at Easter. You know, it's acceptable at Christmas, but you only do it at Easter." No, you do it as often as you do it. And in fact, the letter of the Corinthians, basically, Paul's writing a letter getting on to them. You know, some things they're doing right, but a lot of things they're doing wrong. And he's writing this letter. If you go and read the whole book, or he's actually getting on to them because of the paganism and the idolatry, the idol worshiping that's going on. He's getting on to them. But also, what we just got through reading, he gives them the proper way of doing the Lord's Supper. And the reason he gave them the proper way is what the Corinthians were doing is when they sat down to do the Lord's Supper, I mean, at least they were doing it, but they were throwing down having a party. Okay, they were thinking of themselves, they're getting drunk, they're doing everything that they probably shouldn't be doing. They're offering food to the idols. So what he was doing is showing them the proper way that they should be doing the Lord's Supper. Now, we're not going to have communion tonight. What I'm doing is I'm basically setting up with you the point that I want to drive home here a little bit later. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing communion every day if you want to. As a matter of fact, I was deployed prior to retiring from the military. I was deployed, and I was in Kuwait. And I was... this one particular day, I'd gotten a message that we had another agent coming in, and I needed to go to the airport and pick him up. So I got to the airport, and his flight was delayed. And of course, here I am. I'm there. I'm deployed. I'm away from my family. And I'm not saying I started to break down in tears and anything like that, but I almost started having a pity party, you know. And I actually just got filled with the Holy Ghost about a week before this. Less than a week. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, I'm here. I wasn't even supposed to be deployed. And there was a lot of things that I missed. you know, going on this deployment, a lot of family things that I missed going on it. So I was there, and then I'm like, now this guy's late. What's going on? You know, and I know it was just an attack from the enemy. But as I'm standing there in the airport, much like this, leaning against a column, waiting on this plane to come in, I'm standing in an airport in a Middle Eastern country, a Muslim country, and what do I hear over the speakers is the instrumental version to El Shaddai. And I'm like, really? How did this happen? And, you know, I just started, you know, my own little whisper, just started worshiping the Lord. And I figured, well, if the plane's late, I'm going to go have lunch. And I sat over there, and there was a McDonald's in there. It wasn't real beef. I don't think it's real beef here anyway. But anyway, so I got a number four with a root beer. And I had my own little communion. I took a bite of the Whopper, or not the Whopper, the Big Mac. I took a bite of it, and then I took a drink of the root beer, and that was my communion, you know. So anyway, you can do it as often as you want to. That's the point on that. But this scripture is most often referred to during a communion service, but I want to take a closer look at the night in which this took place, okay. One thing that you should notice out of this, or I don't know if it's really not spelled out in here, but the different research that I've done and the different studies I've done on this, from the Lord's Supper, the beginning of the Lord's Supper, to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, was less than 24 hours, okay? I mean, if you go to the courthouse today, it's like you don't even open the doors until, what, 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning? But no, he was getting trials all the way from 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning all the way through. So really, some of the research I've looked at is from the beginning of the Lord's Supper, the estimated beginning, to his actual death was about 21 hours. So let's just say less than 24 hours is the time that took place. And there are several things that took place during this time. Well, first of all, we start with the Lord's Supper. During the Lord's Supper, he identified Judas as the betrayer. He identified Peter as, or no, not that was later. He identified Judas as the betrayer. He had the Lord's Supper. And then after the Lord's Supper, they went to the garden. They sang a hymn. They identified Jesus, or Peter as denying him. Then he took three of the disciples over. They prayed for a while. He came back about two or three different times. He got on to them because they're falling asleep and he's over here praying. Okay. And so then he gets arrested. And then once he gets arrested, he goes through a series of trials. He's beaten. He's hung on a cross. And then he dies. Praise the Lord, he's not dead today. Amen. He's risen, because right after he dies the physical death, he descends into the pit of hell. And this is where the best part really starts, is when he kicked the devil's hiney and gave him what for. But the main thing I want to talk about tonight is Peter and his denials of Jesus. And again, just as your own reference, we're not going to go there and start reading them. But at least not all of them. Let's go to Matthew 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. Oh, that's where he actually denies him. Okay, here's where he doesn't actually deny him. What I want to talk about is where Jesus predicts his denial. And in Matthew 26, verse 31, then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said that, but actually the focus was on Peter and him denying it. And as you remember, is recorded in history, Peter actually does deny him, and then the rooster crows and You know, he has this look like, oh my gosh. So, and then he had a pity party for a little bit. So anyway, how many times in our lives do we say, oh, God is my Father, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I am never going to deny him. I am never going to deny him. And then, you know, somebody may be talking with you in a conversation that's like, well, hey, what do you think about this church over here? Oh, I don't know, you know. Or maybe they're talking with you about something. And I'll be honest, I'm going to raise my hand and be transparent. This happened in my life, okay? I was born again when I was in the third grade, not really sure what had happened at the time. And as I became a teenager, I rededicated my life. And, you know, as Pastor Hagin talks about having a no-so experience, you know, I really didn't know what that meant until I started reflecting back on that time. And as a teenager, I knew so, that I was born again as I rededicated my life. But anyway, as I went into the military and I progressed through and you know, I really wasn't a pagan type of a Marine, but I just didn't live for the Lord, if you know what I'm saying, okay? I still didn't drink. I didn't, you know, run around and do stupid things, at least not all the time. And I just didn't live for the Lord, you know? I didn't go to church like I should. And sometime around my kids' junior high going into high school, because they're about 2 years apart, something occurred in my life, and I'm like, my goodness, because I was talking to them one day, and They didn't know much about God, and I realized they weren't even born again. I'm like, what am I doing to my kids? So some correction took place, and I started back on the right path, and then just a few short years later, I retired, and the next thing you know, I'm here. But there was a time that it's like, you know, people talk about church. People talk about being a Christian. You know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, I don't go to church. And, you know, there was a time I had a next-door neighbor. He said there was a Rhema church in California that we started to go to. And I grew up in a denomination that basically the piano, maybe the organ, and then the choir in the robe singing. And I was part of the choir, but my voice isn't as great as it was then. I don't know. But maybe they were just desperate. But no, I went to this church, and the worship team was up there doing what worship teams do, worshiping the Lord. Their hands were raised. They were singing. They actually looked happy, you know. And I was talking to my next-door neighbor, and he says, hey, I noticed you guys were dressed up Sunday, and you were going. He goes, where'd you go? I said, oh, we went to church. He goes, oh, I heard of that church. And he says, I heard they have good music. What do you think about the worship team? What do you think my answer was? I said, oh, they're just faking it. I said, they're paid, you know, they're paid musicians. They're up there. They're just faking it because they're paid to get everybody involved. And, you know, it was just a few short years later, I realized they weren't paid. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin used to say you play around a creek bank long enough, you slip and fall in. And I played around and I slipped and I fell in. Praise the Lord. And, but you know, I get into worship. I praise my hands because you're worshiping God. You're not trying to do a public display. You're just worshiping God. Amen. So anyway, there was that time in my life that I'm like, they're just faking it. And, you know, not only just not denying it, but you know, if you're not openly talking about the Lord and what he's done in your life, that's a form of denying it as well. Okay. I think I've said it before, is there was a time in my life when I was over, again, deployed over to the Middle East, and we were working an investigation. We had a series of suspects that it was involved in drugs and stuff, and we were interrogating them. And, you know, when you interrogate somebody, or should I say interview, but when you interrogate somebody, you're talking, but you're trying to think a step ahead of them, but you know that they're listening and they're trying to think a step ahead of you, so you're trying to think two steps ahead of them while they're thinking ahead of you, and you're talking at the same time. Okay? An interrogation can be really emotionally draining, not emotionally, but mentally draining, because all the different things that's going on in your head at the same time you're talking and focusing on what you're trying to say. So as this is going on, I'm thinking ahead of him. I know he's trying to think ahead of me, and then I'm trying to think two steps ahead of that. I hear this little voice, not an audible voice. It just raises up from within, and it says, tell him about me. I'm like, are you crazy? I'm like, I can't, what do you, I didn't know, but I knew. I just knew who it was. He said, tell him about me. And in my mind, I know none of you have ever argued with God before, but in my mind, I was arguing with him. And I'm like, what are you talking? I can't tell him. I'm interrogating him. He's about to confess. We're going to get all the drugs. I can't tell him about you, God. So he confessed. We took the statement. We went, we searched his tent area. And then finally, it came up again. Tell him about me. So I said, okay, Lord, I will. I took him outside. I didn't take him outside like most Marines take people outside. I took him outside and I says, listen, I said, I need to talk to you man to man. I said, at this moment, I'm not a federal agent. You're not a suspect in the case. I need to talk with you man to man. And of course, he's like all wide-eyed. And he's like, okay. And I says, are you a Christian? He just looked at me. And I says, are you born again? Are you a Christian? Do you have Jesus in your life? He says, no. Well, I got to spend a few minutes with him, and praise the Lord, he accepted Jesus. And he's a Christian. And so the next day, this particular case had like 43 suspects. So the next day, same scenario, same thing going on in the mind, and the same thing comes up. Tell him about me. I'm like, are you crazy again? I can't. We just did this yesterday. Haven't I proven myself to you? So here we go. Same thing. I talk to him. He gets born again. Afterwards, of course. The third day, same thing. Well, this guy, whenever I said, are you a Christian? He goes, I think so. And I says, how'd you like to know so? So we prayed, and he thought that he was, because he grew up in church, and his parents were a member of the church, and he thought that he was born again because of that. And then once we got down to the nitty-gritty details about it, he wasn't. So he got born again. Amen? And, you know, that's the only three times that something like that has really happened in my life. Okay? So due to the actions of Jesus, we have eternal and spiritual freedom. The brave men and women of our armed forces ensured our freedom to worship our God as paying the ultimate sacrifice. Though we have freedom, we also have a responsibility to help others in their Christian growth. Amen. Our first duty is to others, not ourselves. Doing all the glory of God involves encouraging fellow Christians and spreading the good news about Jesus to those who have not heard. And what I want to do is transition into what Jesus told Peter after the crucifixion. Okay? So what I'd like to do is go to John 21, John chapter 21, and we're getting close to closing here, so go ahead and elbow your neighbor and wake him up. Now, if both of you are asleep, well, I don't know. Hallelujah. John chapter 21, we're going to go to verse 15. So after Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows, and he says, there's no way that's going to happen. And he denies him, like he knew better than Jesus. So he denies him. He feels bad for a while. He might start having his good days, feeling better. But then this day comes around. Jesus has already raised up from hell, defeated the devil. And he walks out on the beach. And the boys, sometimes I like to call them the boys, the apostles, they're out there fishing all night. They don't catch anything. They come back in. They clean the nets. Jesus says, what's the matter? You didn't catch anything? You didn't have anything to eat? And he says, no, we didn't catch anything. And he goes, well, go out there and cast out your nets. He goes, okay, I'll go cast out your nets. And then the net almost breaks. The boat almost flips over because it has so many fish. And then they're like, oh, my gosh, you're the Lord. I recognize you now. So they're sitting there, and they're eating. They're having a good time. And in John chapter 21, verse 15, we see where it says, so When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved. Here it is. Peter saw Jesus. He was starting to feel better after denying him, and now Jesus hits him with this. So Peter's starting to feel grieved, and he says, he said the third time, "Do you love him?" And then he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked." Then he just goes in and he talks about how he's going to die. So essentially what happened is Jesus restored Peter. And, you know, what I'm guessing is the three times he denied him, he turned around and he restored him on all three occasions. And I don't know, I think it's pretty ironic that here I am, I'm starting to live a life of not living for the Lord, denying the Lord. And then I had three opportunities to go face-to-face with people and preach the gospel to them. So these scriptures are really near and dear to my heart because these scriptures are something I actually live through myself in my own little story. And the way that I relate to this is, you know, you raise up children and they're not going to part from the way that you raised them. So from birth all the way through, you're about to kick them out of the house or they leave the house, you're teaching your children, you're grooming them, you're showing them the gospel, you're instilling this into them, you're reinforcing it into them. So as they grow, they don't depart from it. But you know, you see it on TV shows, you see it on movies, you see it on commercials. And you know, sometimes you experience that. Well, I've experienced it in my own life. Until my son moved back in the house. But anyway, you know, when they're leaving, it's like you feel that you have that short period of time that you got to remind them of all of the important stuff that you tried to teach them over the last however many years. And in my opinion, what Jesus was doing here is he's trying to essentially tell Peter the important things over the last couple, 3 years that he was with them. He's trying to show them what's important. And all three times, what do you see that's important? Feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. It's all about people. And as I mentioned before, and I'll go ahead and say it again, that though we have freedom, we also have a responsibility to help others in their Christian growth. And our first duty is to others, not ourselves. Doing all the glory of God involves encouraging fellow Christians and spreading the good news about Jesus to those that have not heard. And I'm not going to go through and read it, but the Great Commission that in Matthew 28, verse 16, that's when Jesus says that all authority has been given to him, and he says, go, preach the gospel. He's telling that to each and every one of us. And the whole point that I'm going to drive home today is, in your own lives, no matter what comes along on a daily basis, no matter what opportunity, because the enemy is going to give you every opportunity to get out of faith, to get out from underneath that spiritual umbrella that we have under God. Because he does come to try to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he's going to do. And as long as we're here on the earth, he's going to continue to do that. We have to not allow that to happen. Okay? And again, the point that I'm trying to drive home is no matter what happens in our daily life, no matter what force there is to try to push us away from walking in Christ, there's always opportunities to follow what we're told to do, what he tells Peter to do, to feed the lambs, to tend the sheep, to feed the sheep. the great commission that we have to go out. And you know, once I started to realize this, and then once I made the decision to change my life, to start living a life for God, to get my kids born again, and then I got in the church, Rhema Church, and got filled with the Holy Ghost, to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the path that we took, the call that we had on our life was to move out here and go to Rhema. But from that point that I made that decision, I don't know that I have always had opportunities to share the gospel. I can just say from that point in the desert, I started recognizing the opportunities to reach people, to touch their lives, to try to get them born again. And the only thing that I encourage you that is as you recognize those opportunities, and a couple examples I have very briefly is I think I shared this one is some springs broke in my garage door, and I could have fixed them myself, but I didn't have the time. You know, sometimes part of the time recognizing it is things just aren't what's the $25 fancy word? I'm convenient. Sometimes things just aren't convenient. It was a time in my life where I had a lot of things going on, and I like, you know, the garage door has to get fixed, but I also have these research papers and these tests and different things I have to do. So I hired somebody to come out and do it, and in the entire time that he was there, what do you know? I'm in the garage talking to him. Just small talk. But I'm getting communication, so to speak, some Morse codes coming through, so to speak. And it's like, just talk with him. And all of a sudden, I just got to pray with him. What am I going to pray for? So I started listening, and he had a lot of things going on in his life, and his son was doing a lot of things, and he was trying to get out of the job and start his own business, and just pray with him. So I prayed with him, and as I started praying with him, the Holy Ghost was giving me the words to speak. And afterwards, he told me it blessed him, it touched him, and it encouraged him. And you know, there's another time that my next-door neighbor, he's in a denomination type of a church, and he could be a very negative individual. But, you know, one day I'm in my garage doing something, I'm in the house doing something, and it's a hot summer day, and it's like, go down and talk to this guy. I'm like, well, I don't want to go down and talk with this guy. So I go down and I talk with him. You know, during that conversation, what do you think one of the questions he asked? He says, what do you think about this Holy Spirit stuff, being filled with the Holy Spirit? What do you think that's all about? Well, he got filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues right there in his driveway with the other neighbors looking and staring. Hallelujah. Then we go over and talk to the other neighbors. But the thing is, you know, the Lord is going to give you these opportunities. Smith Wigglesworth used to say that he would sit on a park bench waiting on the carriage, on the people to go by in the carriages. Yeah, they had carriages, buggies, and horses. And he would sit on a park bench and he would say, Lord, is that the one? Is that the one you want me to talk to? And maybe through his own impatience, he would just jump up on a carriage and start preaching the gospel to him. And if he got him born again, he got him born again. If he didn't, he didn't. But the fact is, if you don't reap the harvest, definitely go out there and sow seeds and water the seed. And that's the encouragement that I have for you today, folks, is you have a multitude of opportunities in your daily lives. And what I want to do is encourage you to just stay tuned. Stay tuned to the Holy Spirit. And when you pray and in your devotions and you pray in the Spirit, you know what I started doing, and actually it just slipped out one day, and now I purposely start putting into it, is I say, Father, use me to love your people today. Show your love. Love your people through me. And then since I've been part of this ministry, I picked up on the idea of Father, make me a blessing to people. You know, don't bless me today, but make me a blessing to people. Hallelujah. So that's what I encourage you folks to do today, is look for those opportunities. And, you know, sometimes it may be a little, what's that word I just said before? Inconvenient. It may be a little inconvenient, But hallelujah, just step out and do it. And that's what I want to encourage you folks to do today. I'm not saying this from any condemnation. I'm not, because this happened in my own life and it continues to happen today. Is do I take that opportunity? And I only gave two or three examples, but I'm telling you, nearly every day there is these opportunities. And I just want to encourage you guys to, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, look for the opportunities, seize the moment, because that's what we're all about. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and everybody bow your heads and pray. Father, we love you tonight. We love you all the time. We don't need a special day to honor you and recognize you, Father. Father, I pray that each and every person, I pray that you give them the opportunity and open their eyes and open their ears to take advantage of the opportunity, to recognize the opportunity, whether they're at work or whether they're at a restaurant or regardless of what they're doing. It could be in the post office. It doesn't matter, Father. I pray that most importantly, you use them to love your people. You use them to feed your lambs and tend and feed your sheep. Hallelujah, Father. If there's anybody in here tonight that you don't know how to feed the lambs or tend the sheep, if there's anybody in here that says, you know, I heard what you said, and you know, I've heard what other people say. I've heard what they've said before. I've heard many messages before. But I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have not accepted him in my life. I want that. If you would just raise your hand tonight, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. And you know what? Maybe you've done that. And just like myself, you fell away. And you want to rededicate your life. You want to take this moment and go forward. If that's you tonight, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll take care of that tonight. You can start living a life for God tonight. Maybe you've heard about this filling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's something that, you know what, you've never actually done before, but you want that tonight as well. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Hallelujah. Everybody in here is born again, rededicated, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for coming tonight. And next week, make sure you're here next week. I think is Pastor Craig, will he be back next week talking about Hong Kong or something? Hallelujah. Don't forget tonight to sign up for the baseball game. That's going to be on June the 19th. And for your picture to be out there, to be put into the database so we can immediately recognize your face and your name. Go ahead and see Glenn out there in the cafe area. And with that, go ahead and have a great and wonderful week. And we'll see you back here next week. Hallelujah.